Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter. It contains the Annunciation, where the angel comes to tell Mary about Jesus, and it contains the Visitation, where Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Listen for the Word of God as it's found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 55. In the sixth month, the angel messenger Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary.
And he came to her, saying, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you."
But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this was.
The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you've found favor with God. And behold, you'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you'll name him Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and there will be no end to his rule."
Mary said to the angel, "How? I haven't known a man."
The angel replied, saying, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and the one to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, because nothing is impossible with God."
Then Mary said, "Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. It will happen according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary rose and traveled quickly into the hilly country to a Judean town, and she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth.
When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby kicked in her belly, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? Behold, at the sound of your greeting, the baby in my belly kicked with joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord."
And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for God has looked with favor on the low status of God's servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, because the Great One has done mighty things for me, and holy is God's name. God's mercy is for those who revere God from generation to generation. God has shown strength with God's arm. God has scattered the proud in their hearts' thoughts. God has brought down rulers from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. The hungry God has filled with good things, and the rich God has sent away empty. God has taken servant Israel's part in remembrance of God's mercy, according to what was spoken to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." This ends our reading from God's word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I know some of these words were very familiar to some of you. I did my own translating, so some of the words are a little bit different. I try to make things accurate and timely while still holding on to the majesty of the words. People have interpreted The Annunciation and the Visitation in many ways over the centuries. Here's an old picture of Mary. She's just sitting on the patio waiting for the angel. There's not much furniture, just the bench. But the angel is kneeling before Mary. Many artists painted the angel kneeling to recognize the honor given to Mary. One theologian said the angel honors Mary as if he is wooing her on a bended knee. He doesn't come as a powerful officer issuing a decree. Here's a more contemporary picture of Mary. She is playing a pipe, and traditionally a pipe is the musical instrument used by mourners at funerals. You can see the dove in the background representing the Holy Spirit, and you can see the halo around the angel indicating holiness. And a lot of pictures show Mary with the halo, but they don't in this picture. In the story as we hear it from Luke, Mary is presented as a very ordinary girl. And when the angel calls her favored one, or another way to say it is full of grace, it's a little bit of a surprise to Mary because she is not very wealthy. And in those days, as in ours, rich people often refer to their possessions as blessings. We still do have this idea that rich people are more blessed by God than poor people, even though that theology flies in the face of all of the prophets forever about what they've said. And Mary knows that. Even so, we learn from Mary's conversation and her actions that she is full of courage, that she is bold, and that she has ringing convictions about justice that she remembers from the prophets. Here's another picture of the Annunciation. This one is from the Philippines, and it shows Mary out in the field wearing very ordinary clothes. I think I'm going to go back. If you look at this one, you see that Mary and the angel are both dressed in very long robes. And I've never known if that's because artists prefer painting beautiful flowing fabric to ugly calloused feet. I don't know. But we don't see feet here. We see a little bit of the feet of the angel, but none of Mary. Like the prophets Gideon and Jonah, Mary was startled by the angel. And they wondered what sort of greeting is this, as did Mary. And Mary, like the other prophets, she wanted a little bit of an explanation. How can this happen when I haven't known a man, when I don't have a husband? In this one, Mary is the same level as the angel. This time, she has bare feet, more indigenous. And you can see that she is at work. I'm guessing she is crushing grain. It looks to me like she is, it's a little foreshadowing of the bread that Jesus serves at the Last Supper. And it's a little hard to see, but the center medallion up high, that is the Holy Spirit descending, saying what is happening here is holy. In this picture, Mary and the angel are both ordinary people from Africa. They both have feet. They don't have long flowing robes, but they wear what they can so that they can move easily. The Bible doesn't tell us that Mary was engaged in household tasks, but like any poor rural woman, I'm sure she had many tasks to do. In her song, she talks about God looking at what we remember as the low estate of your handmaiden, which I translated as the low status of your servant. And that low status refers to her class. She was not wealthy. And yet, God looked upon her and called her blessed, grace-filled. Grace-filled. Here is another one. I think this one is a batik. You see Mary in a very ordinary dwelling. And the angel says that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon her or overshadow her. And that Greek word is the same as what's used in the Transfiguration about how the Holy Spirit came upon or overshadowed Jesus. And it's also like how the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in Acts 1:8, so that the Holy Spirit will overshadow the disciples so they can be witnesses to Jesus. Oops. Am I going the right way? Nope, sorry. There we go. And here, Mary is asleep in a very modern house. If you look at the top left, you can see the skyscrapers there. And that's like what I've said to the youth, that we interpret the nativity into our very own culture. So here, Mary's asleep in the modern house. And what's interesting when the angel talks to Mary is that Mary doesn't ask her fiancé or her father or her brother for permission for any of this to happen. Mary gets to make her own choice in this situation. She simply says, "Behold, the servant of the Lord." And that's literally what she said. When I translated it, I put in the I am because it's understood in the Greek syntax. But literally she said, "Behold, the servant of the Lord," much like prophets did before her. And in this picture, you see that the angel is kneeling. Mary has her shoes on, but the angel does not. And I think that's a harken back to when people had to take their shoes off when they were on holy ground. Again, you see the Holy Spirit as the dove and the flowers next to Mary. So the church over the years has made a lot of theology around Mary being a virgin. But in the Greek, this word virgin simply means that she hasn't had children yet. It means that she is young, that she is unmarried, that she hasn't had a husband. And based on rabbinic documents and other first century written sources, we know that in first century Palestine, the age of a bride was very late teens or early 20s. I'm not sure where we got the idea that Mary was a very young teenager, because that just isn't the case. So Mary is here listening to the angel. And the Greek word for angel can also mean messenger. Angels were messengers of God, and so I love that this angel has an envelope in his hand. We know that Mary was a traveler. We don't know very much about her, but we know that she traveled to see her cousin Elizabeth. We don't know whether or not she took any companions or servants with her, but we do know that she traveled. And later on, with Joseph, she traveled to Bethlehem, and after that, she traveled to Egypt. She was a traveler. Most of you probably are familiar with the word the Magnificat, and it means magnify. It's the first word in Mary's song. So when she goes to see Elizabeth, she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." And in Latin, the first word of that song is Magnificat. And that's why this text is called the Magnificat. The word means exalt or make great or make long, like long tassels. In Greek, the word is megalune. And you can hear the prefix mega, meaning great, in there. So here's a Renaissance picture of Mary. Again, you see with very long robes, so you can't see their feet. Mary's presented as a very wealthy woman who can afford to wear long robes because she doesn't need to do any housework. So when Mary says, "My soul is magnifying the Lord," how does that happen? How is Mary's soul magnifying God? Well, pay attention to what she speaks of. The rest of her song is worthy of any prophet. God's mercy is given to those who revere God. God scatters the proud, brings down rulers, lifts up the lowly, and fills the hungry with good things, and sends the rich empty away. One theologian says that Mary was wanted by God for her bold, independent, and venturesome spirit, that her decision to bear a holy child was a bold agenda, that she celebrates the prophetic words of bringing the mighty down from their thrones, scattering the proud in the imagination of their hearts, filling the hungry with good things and sending the rich away empty. And this theologian interprets Mary as well-spoken, wise, and gritty. You certainly don't get that from this picture, but there's this one that is, I think, a little more accurate. Both women are able to move in their robes, and you see how happy they both are. And I will say that usually a first pregnancy is just filled with awe and amazement. All you have to do is be, and the child grows inside of you. It seems like a very holy time. And this is a holy time for Mary. And Mary describes God in holy ways because God is bringing about justice and justice is holy. There are a lot of Bible stories where the protagonists aren't very admirable. The disciples make plenty of wrong assumptions about Jesus. Certainly their betrayal and desertion of Jesus at the end is nothing that we should emulate. And then there are the kings who are far from noble, and some are downright treacherous. And then there are prophets like Noah who don't want to be bothered following God's actual directions but go their own way. And then there's the Apostle Paul who persecuted Christians. But Mary is a hero we can emulate. She spoke to God's messenger. She magnified God and recognized what was good about God, scattering the proud in their hearts. And remember, in those days, your heart was the place of your conscience and your thoughts. It was the place where all of those haughty ideas lived. So to scatter the proud in their hearts means to get rid of all of those thoughts, to help the haughty and the prideful recognize that they were no better than anyone else, that they were in need of God's love, that all of their possessions did not mean God loved them more than anyone else. So I love this picture because it is about joy and delight. You can see the women being very happy for one another. But again, you see, despite their ordinary clothes, they still have the halos around them. And then there's this picture where they're also laughing, again wearing very ordinary clothes. For a long time, we've thought of Mary as the Queen of Heaven and the Mother of God, very holy, kind of ethereal, always glowing and very pale. So I like to look at these pictures to recognize that Mary was a very ordinary human being, just as we are, and she was called to do extraordinary things, just as we are. We too can celebrate when God brings down rulers from their thrones and lifted up the lowly, filled the hungry with good things, and sending the rich away empty. God has answered the promises. God has taken servant Israel's part in remembrance of God's mercy. I know we look around the state of the world and we see the poverty, the refugees, the violence, and the politicians who seem to be doing so very little about it. We have to remember that God's promises are sure, that we are not stuck where we are, that we are empowered to be strong like Mary, to be God's servant, and say, "Behold, the servant of the Lord. Amen."